Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So it was a few days ago, something happened at my house between my wife and I. I know that would get your attention. And it found its way as the introduction to the message this morning. And so it was, in the morning, earlier, whatever, I don't remember the time. I was at the dining table and having a cup of coffee, and I had my phone. And she floats down the hallway, as she always does, and makes her way into the kind of the open concept. It's just a modest home, but just right there in kind of the kitchen and dining area. And she just comes out with this pointed question. She says, have you been looking at luggage? Like, you know, suitcases and gym bag, you know, whatever, carry bags. And I was like, why? Well, I am getting all these ads coming up on my phone and feed about luggage. And I was like, I don't have children at home anymore, so I can't blame them. And I said, yes, I was. I said, how do you know that? And then she told me. And I was like, how does that happen? Now, I know that you all have answers because you're smarter than me about this. It's like, how does that happen? And then the other part was like, how can I search or research anything or do something that I might be looking at for me or for a surprise gift? What do I do now? Right? Now, she is aware that previous to this, I indicated that I might be looking for some luggage, maybe as a gift to her. And you're like, you ruined the surprise. Well, there are surprises too, but this was, you know, we have some older suitcases. They're light duty. They were never meant to go on a plane and go down and slide down and crash into the carousel and pile up with everything else and all of that. These were kind of meant for, like, you know, put it in your vehicle and go to an Airbnb or a hotel or visit family or whatever it is. These are lightweight and they're fraying and the zippers aren't real, you know what I'm talking about. It was never meant for that kind of travel. Sue and I, those of you who've been around here long, you know, her and I, we just don't really ever kind of go away. We do some day trips or, you know, run to the camper for a day or two or whatever. But so anyhow, because she's turning 40 again this year in December. See how I lie for you? She has a significant birthday here in December, and, you know, buying small gifts and that doesn't take conversation and planning, but because it's a significant birthday, I would really like for her, I informed her that I would really like for her to go on a trip, you know, to go somewhere that she would like and have a marvelous time. And I gave her this budget number, you know, and because she's going to pick something within reason, but, you know, things are expensive. So this takes planning, right? It's not like, here's your birthday. By the way, the plane's in the driveway. You know, it's that this is happening. And then, you know, depending on where she goes and what she decides to do, I'd really like her to have some nice luggage. So I've been doing a little research. And I let her know this because I need a little help with, like, you know, maybe color, stuff she likes, You know, you can't just casually have conversation without her knowing and out of the blue say, so by the way, what color luggage do you like? Hey, you made a really good sandwich for me. Thanks. You just can't blend that stuff together casually. You just got to come out and say it. And after all, not that we don't like surprises, and I still do that, and she does that, but, you know, there's some things that you just got to spoil a surprise and just say, hey, right? And so this is why I was looking at luggage, because I want to get something nice for her. You know, it'll be kind of a Christmas birthday trip kind of planning, you know, kind of thing. And then she's like, she knows, you know what I mean? Like, you've been looking at luggage? Yeah. Like, how did that happen? And it reminded me, and it connected to the message this morning. And I want to read this to you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. It's the first few verses. Listen to this. In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, if you go back into chapter 11, you will see how all of this connects, and it makes this context for us to be able to grasp and understand what he's saying now. And so, he says to his disciples first, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, right? A little bit of yeast starts to work through the whole dough. There's different places where Jesus talks about this, and I just am reading through this, and I'm like, now watch what happens. He says this, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed. You better be careful with your amens on this. It's true. It's true. But, you know, you got to hear the rest before you get too excited about amen, amen, and you go, ouch, all of us, right? So, he says, nothing will be covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the rooftops. So, that whole proclamation part about the rooftops, so that you can kind of, I think we can figure out what it means, but understand in these ancient times, houses were built in that climate and area. They had flat roofs, and they could go up there. And you'll find different places in Scripture where people went up to the rooftop. And so the point is, at this flat rooftop, you can fellowship and whatever else, but if, when you wanted to make an announcement to the community, you would go up on the rooftop, and you would be able to shout to your neighbors and shout to the streets and make whatever announcement you have, you could make it known, right? I'm looking at this really cool light that's going on the ceiling. I don't know if somebody's doing it and having a blast, but go ahead and have a good time. Anyhow, now you're all looking up there. You know, that's a trick that preachers do. I shouldn't be, where am I going? I shouldn't tell you this stuff. But it's like, oh yeah, look over there. Listen, my pastor where I grew up did this. This is not to offend you, it's just a story that has nothing to do with the sermon. It was a rather large church, it was about 600, 700 people at that time. As he said, he realized that his zipper was not up. And he's, you know, said, can we just bow and pray? And everybody bows and prays, and he turns around and goes like this. But we had about a 50-people choir standing behind him. And, of course, whatever's happening out here, the choir's never doing that. They didn't bow their head. They didn't close their eyes. It's like, yeah, we're just going to wait till we do our song. And so he turned around and About 50 people just looked at him and laughed, and yeah. So anyhow, that little orb thing, whatever it is, that light reflection, Back to what's really important now. Is that considered like a rabbit hole or a bunny trail or whatever? I don't know. So here we are, Jesus. He says, things that are done in secret will be revealed. What that's called is the inescapable revelation. The inescapable revelation. And the whispers in private, the secrets, both word and in deed, those things are going to be revealed. And that should bring to part of us concern, but also a measure of peace. And I'm going to talk about how both of those might operate in our life. So the importance, in other words, of Proverbs 23, verse 7, consider this. As a man thinks in his heart, that is who he really is. You know this. You can be at home. You could be in a conversation. You could be in a public place. Something could be going on, or you see someone, or you're talking with someone, and that which you are portraying is not exactly what's going on in here. And I'm not suggesting that all that's going on in here should be expressed. Depends what's going on in here. And those things in here, in your heart, in your inmost being, maybe people don't always see, but God sees. If you look back to 1 Samuel, and it's in chapter 16, verse 7, and it has to do with David being selected as the next king, God speaks to Samuel the prophet, and he says, God does not look on the outward, he looks upon the heart. Turn to a couple of people and say, God knows what's going on in there. Yeah. He knows what's going on in there. So the lesson for you and I in this is that the person you and I truly are in time will be revealed. Who we really are. You see, you and I, here's the pitfall in this, is that when you and I inwardly are maybe not pure of heart, in here or in our private world, our private thoughts, whatever it is, not really pure of heart, and we may whisper or say or conduct ourselves, public or private, small gathering, whatever it is, and it's kind of a secret. It's kind of somewhat hidden. It's contained within by yourself or within a couple of people. And a little time goes by, and there's no immediate repercussion from what we said or what we did, even though our heart was not pure. And that lull us slowly over time, thinking that what we do and the attitude we have and what we do in private, God's not real concerned about. And obviously, nobody knows about it because there's been no repercussions, maybe, for a period of time. And we can get lulled into thinking that it's acceptable. I want you to know that just because there's no immediate repercussion doesn't mean that God's not concerned about his children and his people and who we really are inside in the process of being transformed since coming to Christ, since he found us. And so there is this little thing that time plays and can play to convince us that what we do is acceptable, nothing major, no big result from it. And I want you to know that you and I should be reminded, we should be warned by these verses and these words of Jesus and different scriptures that, you know, say the same thing, this message coming through to you and I, that what we think inwardly and some of those conversations that we think are hidden, they will be revealed to the point where the imagery is someone stands on a rooftop and yells it to the community. The Lord's been speaking to us in recent weeks about the conviction and obeying Him in here. What He speaks to us, dealing with us privately before it gets exposed, before it shouts from the rooftop, before it gets seen, that He wants to deal with us between Him and you, Him and me, and not have it shouted from the rooftops. So, you know, Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, Daniel, because of his excellent qualities, he gets called in to meet the king. In other words, his reputation has preceded him. It arrived in the king's ears about the quality of this man, and the king says, I want to meet him. I want him to be brought in. And, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24, it says this, some men's sins are obvious and go ahead of them before judgment. Their reputation, whether it is good or it is not good, it travels before them. And it can bring judgment or it can bring opportunity and blessing and representation of what Christ is like, or what a person who has been transformed and not what they were, and all things are becoming new and they're progressing in their life, all the way down to into their private thoughts and in their private moments and how they speak and how they talk about people or others or a circumstance or a situation where it doesn't incriminate them. God looks upon that and He sees that. And for some, their reputation precedes them all the way to judgment. Here's a reality. People are going to talk about you. Now, there's a context in which they shouldn't. And there's a context in which they should. People should talk about you. People should talk about you. That your reputation could, in Christ, could precede your arrival because you have become a person who exemplifies Christ. I've heard about you. I hear this from time to time, in fact, probably a little more than you might think, just because of my involvement and connection to people and people in the community and the opportunities that the Lord gives me. Oh, are you that pastor of that church up over there? Or you're a pastor, right? Which church is that? Your reputation precedes you. Sometimes it's you, the pastor of that church. Does so-and-so attend there? I say, yes, they do. I get mixed reviews. And it's their perception. It's their snapshot. All the way from, I would never attend there, to, you know what? That person has been such a blessing to me or to our community or to whatever it is. And anywhere in between. It doesn't mean all that they say is true or not. I'm just saying that your reputation can precede you. And if it does, what does it say? You know how this works. You think something of someone, and it might be even a reasonable and fair estimation of what your thoughts are and what you know, and maybe your feelings to that that reputation. You see them coming, and you go, oh, hope they don't come over here. Oh, boy, what they did the other day, I don't want to be associated with that. Or they're starting to come and they've locked eyes. You turned and they locked eyes on you and you can't go. I'll talk to anybody. And they're coming. Or you lock eyes and you see them. And you see them coming. And when they come, their reputation precedes them. And it's this. See? I saw a friend. Your reputation precedes you. It is being revealed. And it's being revealed from people. They may not be shouting it from the rooftop, but it's trickling out. So what you and I think in our heart is who we really are. We need to remember that. And when we look in here, remember, God sees us. Others maybe don't see all the way to our heart. And we can fool some people, and we can think we're kind of getting away with stuff. Because there's been no real repercussion. And yet I want you to know the Holy Spirit is there. And He wants to use you. He has a plan for you. He wants you to have a reputation that exalts Christ. That it's not just about your past. We all have one. But the transformation through faith in Christ. That all of a sudden, your qualities are revealed. And the king says, I want to meet you. The boss, the manager, the supervisor wants to meet you. The neighbor heard about you and wants to meet you. I get told, because of my exposure in the community, because of what I do, it's not a comparison thing. It's just, and I get people telling me stuff about me. It's not just when I'm here. It's, I guess, everywhere we step our foot. And the next step, that it's going to be revealed who you really are over time. I want you to know, here's the blessing of one of the blessings of a pure heart before the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 4 references this. It references, what God sees in secret, He will reward publicly. You're not doing it to try to gain a reputation with the crowd and fool anybody in your town, or at work, or at the job. It's having a pure heart and doing what you should. And you don't need an audience. You just do what you're supposed to do and be transformed like we're supposed to be transformed and changed. And because of that, that which is done in private is going to seep out. And it's going to gain a reputation. Good or bad. It's going to gain a reputation. It's going to seep out. You see, because what we do in private, what we think in private, it's going to seep out in public somewhere. Somewhere that attitude, somewhere in time, or what you said is going to make its way. It's going to be revealed who you really are. Matthew, in that same chapter, verse 6, it says this, Pray in secret. Close the closet. Close the door. Go pray in secret. Not out on the street corner and putting on a show or any of those things. Go pray in secret. And it's not that you can't pray publicly. It's just that he's talking about in context of hypocrisy. And he's talking about you can live out here and try to gain a reputation. But if that in private doesn't match, it's going to eventually reveal who you are, who I am. Pray in secret, and it says he will reward you openly.
Yes, Lord.
Now, I want to say this.
Yes,
if you and I evaluate ourselves and we see, ooh, I kind of tend to talk, and I kind of tend to, I kind of do a secret, and I kind of, and it's detrimental things, I want you to know there's a thing called repentance.
Amen.
And there is the power of his blood to forgive us and wipe away our past, and that you and I can get on a diligent track with the Holy Spirit to gain a pure heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Right? That was David's prayer after one of his big offenses. Create in me a clean heart, O God. It's possible, regardless of your past. In Christ, you don't have to feel doomed or trapped. We repent and we do differently. I want you to know that your secret private world, your attitudes, matter greatly to God. He's not worried about being embarrassed by you or me. He's dealt with humanity a long time. He loves you. But he sends us this lifeline. He sends us this teaching, this instruction, because he wants us to be in right relationship with him, and he wants us to shine brightly the light of who he is in this world. And we don't just get to turn it on in public and then turn it off in our private world. The light is shining within. Don't let our reputations hide the light of Christ, but rather remove the bushel and shine brightly. Why don't you stand, please, all over this room. The inescapable revelation that which you and I say and do in secret will not remain hidden. It will be revealed who we are. And it's not just on that day when we get judged. It's between here and there. And the beauty of that is the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us so that when judgment comes, the issues have been resolved.
Amen.
Our inner attitude, the things that motivate our words, the things that motivate our whispers. The reality is they're not a secret. It's not to scare us, it's not to frighten us. It's one of the loving, difficult teachings of Jesus for you and I. That's what it is. So keep walking with the Holy Spirit. Monitor. Change. We're here to build trust. We're not here to break it. We're not here to come between people. We're here to be unified. We will think about some things differently. We will have disagreements. Those are normal. But the secret things that do divisive works reveal who we really are. But also the secret things we do just unto the Lord, the secret giving, the secret blessing, the things we refrain from saying the things that we desire to say that bring words of life. Jesus sees those things. And he will reward publicly. In other words, that's going to spill out and be revealed about you, about me.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.